Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mully Hanley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's sports station.
I think that when we think about where the Bulls are at right now, whether you are disappointed over previous years, I think this has been an extremely exciting year. I think they're really fun to watch. I forgot how much fun it was to watch. Some of the stuff last year just got exhausting.
Yeah.
There was just this sort of weird dynamic where it wasn't that team thing. And when we've talked to John Paxson about it, he's talked about how you knew in training camp, you knew before any of this even popped, to see Fred emerge as a guy that we're not complaining about because he doesn't have the moody superstars to deal with. I just think that when you look at where this team is at, there is promise and hope. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm having fun watching them.
This probably surprised the Bulls brass to know that some of these guys are ahead of schedule.
Mully and Hanley.
Fruit and toot and fruit and.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
We are delighted to welcome in Kevin Hart, the Philly guy, right, Kevin? So we imagine there's a
yes,
reason
sir.
You're at the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Fly, Eagles, fly, man. I'm all nine right now. I got the chance to see my city make history. I'm projecting a score 86-6. You heard me say it.
Mully Hanley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go!
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Yeah, there's Kevin Hart, 86-6. I don't know why we weren't more hard-hitting. Why was he giving him six? Where were the six coming from?
Well, it was really interesting when he...
Was it a missed extra
well,
point?
Well, when he said when he had the Patriots with the 86, I thought that was a little out of the box thinking.
Not the case. But somebody's loading up Vegas with million-dollar bets, and maybe it's something to do with something that's connected to injuries. Somebody has some kind of information, don't they? It can't just be a projection. Is it all about the math, or does somebody know something?
Oh, I got to get to the point in my life where you can just wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to go to Vegas, and I'm going to go to the Superbook. I'll go to South Point and put down the $1 million, and the details will work itself out. The line's holding steady at 4.5. I just looked. So the little buyback on the Patriots was 4 the other day. But, Gronk, limited in practice. Bill, limited, I guess. Yeah, it hasn't been clear.
CJ McCollum scored a franchise record. That's the shocker.
Well, is it?
That's a franchise record, 28 points. It was the first quarter.
Yeah.
He finished with a career high 50.
Mm-hmm, very efficient. 25 shots.
In three periods. And he led the Blazers, wait for it, 124-108.
Yeah, outscored the Bulls by 9 points in the first quarter alone and did the 50 points in 29 minutes and called it a night. And then Zach LaVine called it a night in the fourth quarter because no reason, to get your core guys out there when you're getting your butts kicked. Man, you see some of the plus minuses on the Bulls yesterday?
It was very ugly.
Yeah, there wasn't much defense going on.
You want the good news for the Bulls or the weird news?
Mm-hmm.
You tell me. Zach LaVine, 23 points on 8-13 shooting.
Yeah, Zach was a minus 27.
Okay, but he did but he did make some shots.
Yes.
He didn't miss all his shots, let's put it that way. And the weird news is that Nico, I don't know that I've seen this one before. Apparently the trade might not be imminent, but the trade could happen. So Nico was told to go back to the hotel. Is someone going to tell him to go back to Chicago or to go down to New Orleans and have a beignet and visit the World War
Apparently,
II Museum.
The way I'm reading it, he doesn't want to go to New Orleans. I don't think his representation lets a deal.
Debris sauce?
Oh, I'll go down there for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, how about it?
I'd walk down to New Orleans for the debris sauce alone. You could have that a few times a day. That's a meal. You know, in the NBA, and you know this as well as anyone, it's not only a players league, it's an agents league. They not only have control, they actually, you know, GMs will tell them, go out and find, if you think, you know, your guy's worth X, go out and make some calls and bring me back a couple deals and I'll take a look at it. And they will actually empower the agents to go out and so his representation wouldn't let that thing get to that point where he's being taken off the practice floor and they think the deal is all but done. And then to hear what Nico said yesterday, and we can take a listen to it, he's like, well, you know, he's talking himself into it. He's like, oh, this is happening. This is happening. Oh, is it happening? I got to call my family. Oh, someone didn't want to go to New Orleans.
You guys can think. You guys can, you know, see what's the best, you know, for me. And we're going to make a decision, but we don't have to rush to make that decision. And, you know, it happened yesterday.
Right.
It's not even 24 hours. So, like, there is, like, nothing to do that fast. Be calm, you know, wait. They do what they told you to do, step off the court, you know, and I was doing some calls with my agents, with my family, and that's all. I don't need to think about New Orleans now. I'm only thinking until the last day, minute I'm wearing the Bulls jersey, I'm thinking about the Bulls arrest, you know, it's something I cannot control.
He's thinking about the game tonight, is what he said eventually.
He thought about room service.
They didn't let him play the game.
Yeah, he thought about going back to the hotel and having room service.
They didn't let him play the game, and they didn't let him sit around and watch the game.
No, they sent him back to the hotel.
They didn't want him cheering for anybody. Isn't that weird?
Look, he said, and here in other comments, he said, you know, that the all the emotions he went through when he was on the phone calling his agent after he was pulled off the floor and then
right.
talking to his family. And then he said, well, you know, we have a long time till the deadline. No, we have a week, right? So he makes it sound like, you know, keep trying. We got another week to get this thing done. And I think the Bulls are like, no, we had the best deal we were going to get. And you just told us thanks, but no thanks, even though your agents, I think, were in the loop while we were making that deal. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know how many more teams are going to pony up a first-round pick and just match up bad money and say we're done here. But, you know, you might as well send him home, right? I mean,
it's confounding. It's very confounding. Who's down in Memphis doing the same thing? You don't see this. This is weird. This is a very strange story. So is Nico given time to talk himself into it, or is everybody mad that he didn't want to do it, or is it just that the trade's imminent and you don't want him getting hurt? We're going to get this deal done.
Well, I think that, look, the reports did, and I believe he had some sort of leg issue, not that would have prevented him probably from playing if he needed to, but if he has some...
Last thing you need is him going
right,
down. Right.
Right. So you do take him off the practice floor, and you do tell him you're not playing tonight, and, you know, you go back to the hotel. You might as well go back to Chicago because... You know, you might think we have a lot of time till February 8th, but we got a week to figure this thing out.
So the Bulls started Paul Zipser because
that didn't work out too well.
Lauri Markkanen wasn't there either, and Chris Dunn is also out. So you were without Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen, and Nico, and you've lost your fifth straight game. And there are a certain number of people in town that are probably delighted by that.
Right, but it's also now not entertaining basketball. I mean, when you don't have your core pieces out there, there's not much to want to, okay, let's tune in and see. Oh, let's see what Chris Dunn, he's not there. Lowry, no, he can't, you know, you have to talk yourself into not a trade, Nico, but to actually watching the game because it's just a bunch of guys.
Well, you don't have to watch it. You can just listen to it on the radio, for God's sake. The Bulls are at the Clippers on Saturday afternoon, and that game will be right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. I don't know if you've heard or not, but there's a partnership between the Bulls and The Score. It is a multi-year deal. It starts on Saturday, and it continues for years to come.
That's unprecedented, right, where a team switches radio flagship stations in the middle of a season?
There was a bankruptcy, right? Wasn't that what happened?
Yeah, Cumulus filed bankruptcy. And today was the day, or is the day, the bankruptcy court rules on the contracts they want to get out of, and that was also, they just can't afford to be in business right now.
They can't show up at the bankruptcy hearing?
They sent them back to the hotel.
We don't, they had a picture of a guy with his, you know, his pockets empty.
Monopoly?
He's holding his hands up.
Yeah.
I don't. What do you want? I don't have it. Why did you sign the deal?
Was that the yellow card Monopoly or the red card? You had the bank, you know.
The bank?
Yeah.
And had the guy.
Yeah, I'm out of money.
The hat.
Yeah.
I love that look. I've had that look most of my life. How about this one? This is really one of the mind-boggling stories of all time. LeBron is open to free agent talks with the Warriors, according to sources. I mean, again,
it's February. Exactly.
That would mess up your rebuild. LeBron, why would LeBron want to go to a team that already has 4 All-Stars and 2 MVPs? Wouldn't that be superfluous? Isn't that a bit much? Listen, LeBron, we love you. You're great. I know we beat you every year, but honest to God, we just don't have any more money. We don't have a spot for you.
Well, let me flip it around. If you're the Warriors, Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, does he fit? Do you want LeBron? I mean, ideally, look, there's the best player in generations, and you know, have a debate over Michael.
Everyone
Jordan.
Everyone wants LeBron.
Do you want everything that comes
yes.
with LeBron? What do you need?
All
LeBron?
Of it. Bring it all in.
You need that. You need that.
How are they going to get messed up by LeBron?
Have you been paying attention?
I have. He's not the problem.
Talk to Kyrie. Talk to Isaiah Thomas.
I think he'd be coming into a team that already has 2 other MVPs. I think LeBron, the one thing he's always managed to do is play basketball and fit into on a basketball team and move the ball and not, you know, LeBron has unfortunately in his career shied away from being the man at the end of the game. He's let other people, he's passed to people, he's made the right basketball play and people kill him for it, at least earlier in his career. So now you'd have all these guys around him. I mean, LeBron might put up numbers that would be staggering in terms of assists and rebounds and all that other stuff. He can do everything. LeBron is unbelievable. He's a great player. And I don't see how a great player would hurt any organization.
Well,
you're saying that they'd all be like, what? You know, hey, LeBron needs the ball too much. LeBron! I just can't see it.
One, like you said, how do you pay him unless he's just going to be whatever you got left in the salary cap, I'll take it. I don't need the money.
Do you have an extra $500,000 because D-Wade's coming?
See, this is what you're talking. And by the way, I get to pick the coach.
Yeah, that's that. All right. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Blackhawks looking for a fifth win in the road on the road. Fifth win in a row on the road. And the puck drops at 9 o'clock in Vancouver. The Hawks still 4 points back. And the wild card race. And they got
to
get going.
Maybe Nico can take a trip to Vancouver, watch the Hawks tonight since
if he's not allowed to watch
he's
the Bulls.
Close by, he's in Portland.
Why not let him watch? Yeah, that's a good it's a plan.
Nico on the fourth line?
Look, we'll talk about it in the 5 and 5. It's Mully and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Do you believe the decision to bench Nico Mirotic foretells an imminent deal, or could it be punitive because he rejected a move?
Could be punitive. You know, you reject a move. I think what they're saying, we don't want you. We don't want you on our bench. We don't want you playing in the games. We're done with you. Take the deal. Get lost. I also think he's got some kind of leg thing. He didn't practice a couple days ago. Why have the guy out on the floor shooting around if anything can happen to him? You're trying to get rid of him. You got a week here to do so. And I don't understand why you'd risk him in any fashion. Even him deciding that he didn't want to play and grabbing at a, you know, clutching at his leg or whatever. I mean, I wouldn't put it past anybody for any of it. I don't think punitive is the right word. It could be, but I don't think it's punitive. I think he wants out. They come up with a deal, and then he rejects it. That's my read on this. And they want to get that deal done. So why have him play? And if he's not going to play, why have him sit on the bench? Why have him, you know, dribble a basketball? He's done. They're done with him, and he should go away. And he should take the deal and be done with it. I think he's trying, you know, I want out, but I want to go where I want to go. Oh, and by the way, I want the money for next year. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, this is Dustin's perfect scenario. You get rid of Nico. He's in sort of some weird, I don't know what you'd call it, just kind of stasis and
vortex of horse crap.
You know, that's a good
Bob Riley. Yeah, we are in a vortex of horse crap.
It's
give my answer early.
It's just a very interesting situation because clearly he's done here, and if they have to bring him back, that's. But meanwhile, they did lose, so I suppose that, you know, if you don't have marketing and you don't have Dunn, you don't want to win the game.
What's the price for a first round draft pick? What are the Bulls willing?
Would you pay $12 million for a first round draft pick?
I mean, they were willing to do that because they were going to take on they're taking the Sheik contract that was guaranteed through next year and the $3 million buyout. So they were roughly at $13-14 million because they weren't going to pick up the option on Nico's contract. So now,
well,
would you be shocked? I mean, would you?
Cleveland picked up Brock Osweiler's deal, right? Got a draft pick out of it. It was a second round pick, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And how much was that deal? That was a massive deal.
Right.
They just ate the money. So I think draft picks in various sports are very valuable.
Yeah, but in the NBA, you know, Jordan Bell notwithstanding, you know, where you get $3.5 million for a second round pick, it's really the first round. I mean, there's no fifth, sixth, and the second round is not even guaranteed contracts, right? So if you find a player there, great for you. So now, you know, Casey Johnson, our buddy, is reporting that if you go back, double back on New Orleans, and you actually guarantee the second year of Nico's contract, now you have to take another bad contract in return. Because now the last thing that the Pelicans want to do is have their financial hands tied because they want to pay DeMarcus Cousins, and they do want to prove to their guys down there that they're legitimately going to be a playoff team, and they're trying to make the team better even with the Cousins injury. And so what do you do here? So now I would say it's 50-50 that come February 9th, Nico's still sitting here in a Bulls uniform, and guess what? Then they're done with him in the summer.
So is it punitive then?
At that point,
are they trying to force his hand by doing this, by not letting him sit on the bench?
Yeah, because you know what? I think they're saying we're not guaranteeing that second year. We got to find a team that's willing to do that without us getting another bad contract in return. I thought this was slam dunk. He's gone by February 8th. I'd say maybe, 50-50, 60-40 that come February 9th, he will be playing because the trade deadline had come and gone next Thursday afternoon.
I think it's more about a deal. I've felt for weeks now that he should have been sitting. Concerned about a possible injury.
I'm with you.
But it was well within his rights to reject the deal. They gave him this contract. I mean, I don't know who they can really blame. They can be frustrated about it. But these conversations, I don't know how they're starting, but these conversations with teams should start with, are you going to pick up this option? Because what are you talking about now? Now you know that he's going to reject it until it's a last-minute offer. Maybe he would accept it with next year not being guaranteed. Maybe. But it is interesting. If you believe it's punitive, they know this guy. He's a sensitive guy. How is he going to react by being pushed even further away after what's already happened to him this season? Maybe he does cave. Maybe it's a tactic by them to get him to agree to any trade just to get out of Chicago. But I think this is more about an imminent deal. He should have already been sitting.
You know, I think it was a pretty decent deal that came through the wire a couple days ago. I think most people would be happy to get a draft pick for Nico Mirotic, a first-round pick, even if it was New Orleans pick, which obviously won't be in the top 10, but still a first-round pick is a first-round pick. That's kind of what you were aiming for. So when that fell through, I assume that the front office kind of felt the same kind of disappointment that fans felt. So now what I'm most worried about is, do you move Nico for less than you would have gotten for him before, just to kind of take him off your hands and wash your hands of situation, because clearly they don't want to play him anymore. They're not trying to win games. They're not trying to risk an injury to him. I don't know if it's punitive. I don't know if the organization is that petty. It can be a little petty, but not that petty. But I think that it's more that they don't want to risk an injury. They want to get him out of here. I'm just afraid, like I said, that they're going to settle for less now.
I think Nico's being petty here. I don't get if you want out, then get out. But I don't understand how they got to the point in the deal when your two teams are talking and there's that option sitting there, like how that wasn't discussed, how it got to like supposedly the 1-inch line. Then, oh yeah, by the way, there's $12.5 million for 2019. Listen, you know, I wanted Nico sitting, but I also want Nico on this team next year. I think for that amount of money, and hopefully a year heals all wounds. So maybe it's not over yet. Probably, but not so fast, my friends.
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know that. I don't know that answer. Yeah.
In one sentence, how would you sum up Nico Miritich's Bulls career?
More trouble than it's been worth. We were more sizzle than steak. You know, how many years did we were told, wait till you see this guy, right? Wait, oh, he's being refined. Wait, he's not NBA ready yet, but wait till he gets over here. You're going to, you know, this is baby Dirk and all this stuff. You know, no, never happened. And, you know, rookie year, March, great, wonderful, couple of rookie of the month awards. But really, now the soap opera and for a month there, he was likable, Nico, guaranteeing wins. And, you know, everyone follow me. We're going to go out there and turn this thing around. And he was loving the limelight. And, you know, he said it again yesterday, has never had more fun playing in the NBA, even though, the team's going in a different direction. But really, much more trouble than it's worth, because he's not a star in this league. And now we're going to have to spend a week of wondering when and who rejected what and who's doing, you know, come on. This guy, he can help a contending team, certainly, when he's shooting threes at a 40% clip. But, you know, if he headed back to Spain tomorrow, the league wouldn't miss him.
I'll filter it down to one word. I would describe his Bulls career as unrealized.
Well done.
Four erratic, three cola seasons. It's been an odd last year for Nico. You can go back to the end of last year with Butler and Wade. He was clearly on the outs there. They didn't like him. He's knocked out by a teammate. The team supports the guy that punched him. Then he comes back, and he's the hero. He's the GOAT. He's guaranteeing victories. And now he's sick.
Good Lord.
Right with Brady.
I would just say that it's been very underwhelming. People waited for Miritich for a couple years when he was over, I believe, at Real Madrid in Spain, one of the top teams over in Europe, and he was putting up great numbers. You know, you watch the videos on YouTube, you see the highlights, you see him getting to the cup pretty easily, a better athlete than you would have assumed he was. He was shooting great, and he came over here, and it never really quite formulated. There was a lot of unrealized potential, I think, with Nico Miritich, and he's only 26 years old, so I don't think it's completely far gone for him in his career personally, but you can definitely tell that his time with the Bulls is coming to an end, and it's just disappointing to me, because I thought that when he first came over here and you were still in the middle of Jimmy and Pau and Derek, and you thought maybe you had one more run in those guys and Miritich could be the final piece to get them back to an Eastern Conference championship or potentially even a finals, never really quite formulated. He never really quite settled here, I don't think. So I would definitely call it underwhelming.
A big old plate of chipped beef on toast, one of my least favorite foods of all time. And since we're on the radio, I'm going to call it chipped beef on toast. And for those of you who know what it's also referred to, the people in the front seat of the car right now, it's a big old
something
pile.
On a shingle, yeah.
It's a big old pile of chipped beef on toast.
My aunt
I'll leave
to
it
make,
at that. I want to be here tomorrow for Joe Fortin.
Whenever we went
picks.
Over to my aunt's house, she boiled up bags of that stuff and served it up as lunch. I mean, what did we do to deserve that?
I would literally boil
the bag.
When my mom would say that we were having that, I would absolutely throw a wobbler as a 5-year-old. No, not chippy fanta.
Not hungry, thank you.
I don't even know what that is.
Look it up.
It's good for you, Zeke.
You're lucky you never had it.
It's like extremely bad debrief sauce.
Oh. not
well,
even.
That's an insult to the yeah.
Thank
sauce.
You. Yeah. I was just making a joke. Hey,
put it up on a tee for me.
For me, when I was a kid, liver.
Oh, yeah.
Why would we have liver and onions?
Oh, that's good. Oh, if it's cooked properly,
you know
that's
what,
good.
Buddy? Yeah.
That's a generational
you can
thing.
Have it.
That's my dad
my
loved that.
Made that
and
so
my
good.
Mom had to make it for my dad, and he loved it.
I had
and
to
the
sit
house
there
smelled
and
of
eat it. It was awful.
Yeah.
It was
we
just
didn't
god awful.
It can be bad, but if it's prepared properly, it's fantastic. Kind of like spam.
What did I have to eat one time? Tripe. Have you ever eaten tripe?
Oh,
mother of God.
Oh, that stuff smells. You can
a mile
away.
Oh, my
haggis?
God.
You ever had haggis?
I've never had haggis, no? And I never will. I had tripe, pal.
I made the mistake of buying dog treats that were made of tripe.
Oh.
Opened up that bag and nearly passed out.
What did the
like
dogs
Fred
think?
Hoiberg. I almost passed out.
Did the dogs, if the dogs are running away, the dogs sit up and like, chip beef on toast.
Oh, you know,
love it.
You ever seen a dog eat a pig's ear? They're throwing it up in the air.
They go nuts.
It's like doing circus acts with it, and you're going, oh my God.
I'll vomit at the sight of head cheese.
Can we save that cut? You ever see a dog eat a pig's ear?
I have.
It's just hilarious.
Yeah. It is funny because they do all sorts of them. I mean, they're out of their minds and they're man.
You ever see a dog eat a pig's ear?
Cheap entertainment.
My dog always preferred pig's cheek. It was a surprising delicacy. The dog was very, very...
Well, that's a great question, Brian.
Are you at all concerned that Rob Gronkowski will miss the Super Bowl with a concussion?
Yeah, I'm concerned. Yeah, I'm very much concerned. Gronk hasn't been cleared yet, and they need Gronk. He's Gronk. Yo soy fiesta. He's a lot of laughs and a lot of fun, and he's a huge part of it. And I was concerned when he went out. I think it's only fair that everybody be at full health when you get to. I want Carson Wentz to play. I just think that that Gronk would it would be a big loss for them. I don't think you get better by losing one of your great weapons. I understand there is a school of thought that Tom looks to him too much and relies on him too much, and that. That he when he's gone, he distributes the ball more. I don't think that's a problem. I don't think there's ever a problem when you have a guy that is a reliable player. But, yeah, I would definitely be concerned if he was unable to play. I think it would affect it, and it would make me wonder, are these guys with the million-dollar bets, do they have information that I don't know about, and is that why they're doing what they're doing? Is it, sir?
I need answers. So we have four independent neurological specialists going to be present during the game, right? Is that how many have to sign off on Gronk? Because we learned from Bill Belichick, he's limited in practice but has not been cleared out of protocol. So what's the process? How many people have to weigh in to clear him out of protocol? Or is it just a bottom line thing? If he passes these cognitive tests, all of a sudden he just goes. You don't have to have differing opinions on it.
Is he capable of passing those tests even if he's not concussed? That's what I'm curious about.
Yes.
Rob Gronkowski.
Yes, that's an excellent. That's actually one of the questions on the test. I think you need to be concerned if you're rooting for the Patriots, if you're game planning and you're the Eagles, you have to allow that the possibility that he's not going to be cleared because, you know, it's Thursday and he hasn't been to this point. So we shall see. I want to see him out there. I want to see the best possible game, and I want to see the best possible players. So that's where my concern level is. I got some pretty good numbers in the squares. So, I'd like touchdowns being scored.
I've felt for a week and a half that he's going to play. And what he said yesterday, that he is playing, it doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter what Gronk says at all. But now we're sitting here on Thursday morning, and I'm starting to wonder, why hasn't he been cleared yet?
Especially when Roger Goodell spent how much of his State of the League yesterday talking about trauma and concussion protocol. And, you know, Gronk, of course, is saying he's going to play, but, the league's going to have something to say about it.
Right, and he's been practicing since last week, and you're just waiting on that final step, but we're being asked here to predict brain injuries, which you just can't do. So the concern is starting to seep in a little bit here on Thursday.
I'm going to be really disappointed if Gronk can't play. I've already been pretty disappointed that he hasn't been able to trot out there for media responsibilities so far this week. He's one of the more engaging personalities, but at least that Gronk's not there. We still have Bill Belichick, the life of the party, always providing his unique and thrilling sense of humor all week long. Never going to get sick of old Bill Belichick. But I want to see Gronkowski play. I want to hear him talk. The league is better when he's out there doing dumb things and catching touchdowns, Brian, like you said.
Yeah, I think he will play. I don't doubt he'll play. I think that's part of it. I think the Patriots would rather have him not out there talking and doing those things. I mean, listen, he said without hesitation after playing video games on Tuesday night, he was asked directly and he answered and he said he's going to play. Also, Josh McDaniels yesterday said it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he practices all week. He's not going to miss anything.
But the doctors make that call.
I understand that. And like Kevin, and they're independent and like Kevin doctors. Said sillily, yeah, they're independent. Not everybody's independent, Molly. Everybody's got a price. Everything is for sale.
Have you seen the $1 million Eagle bets, buddy?
Yeah, Dr. Smith and Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, they all put them down. What?
No, that's a good question.
Do you expect the dual focus of Patriots coordinators Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels to impact New England's preparation?
Are you saying are they distracted by their upcoming gigs? No, because they got the gigs. It's not like they have to prepare for interviews. They were probably more distracted going in to the Bears interview and trying to get all the information they need and get up to speed on what they wanted to ask the Bears as much as how they were going to answer the questions. They were, you know, they've been hired, and they've already been, you know, apparently telling some of the coaches, you know, that you're not sticking around. I think they'll have laser focus. And as long as Bill Belichick is there, it doesn't – I mean, ultimately, it matters, but ultimately it doesn't matter. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, they're not going anywhere this year, certainly. They're going to be completely dialed in. If you're a Patriots fan, I think that was so – that'd be so – if you have a list of concerns, maybe you don't at all, that'd be so far down on the list, it's not even a consideration.
I think they're doing two jobs at once. I as you say, Brian, that you've already told staffers they're not coming back. That means you're out contacting people and you're hiring people. There were what, two or three guys hired earlier in the week in with the Colts. That is obviously Josh McDaniels is connected to that. He's not going to have him hire people that he doesn't know. So I think you are talking to people. You are doing. You're working at dual purpose. And when your focus isn't 100% on something, there's potential for issues. And I think that certainly we've seen in the past coaches that had been hired. I believe last year you had an offensive coordinator that was hired in San Francisco, and boy, he didn't cover himself in glory in that second half, did he? So I don't know. I don't know how else you go about the process, but do I believe that it is will have an impact on their preparation? I think that they will be prepared, but I do think that their focus is not 100% on this game. I don't know how it could be, and maybe they'll work even harder to try to prove that their focus is on the game. So maybe it is a good thing. Either way, it does affect their preparation. It impacts it if they're working very hard trying to prove that nothing's distracting them, or if they're actually distracted. So I'll go with yes, impact.
I did consider this last week when we were thinking about the game. The reports were out there. Patricia was telling Lions coaches, yeah, you're going to be out, so go look for another job. So,
how long does that conversation last? Hi, this is Matt Patricia. You're fired. Click.
Okay, but then he's also figuring out who he's going to hire, right? And they said most of the preparation, Belichick said most of the preparation was done last week for this game. So it did enter my mind, but I've learned after years and years, all these normal rules that you follow, throw them out the window when Belichick and Brady are involved. I just kind of push them to the side a little bit. And so I think their focus is going to be fine. They may lose the game, but I'm not going to blame the coordinators.
Yeah, I think Bill Belichick is the key here. If this were any other team and the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator were already on their way out and everybody knew where they were going to end up, where they were going to be head coaching next season, I might have a little bit of pause, but it is the Patriots. It is Bill Belichick. This has been a well-oiled machine for so long that I think doubting them for something this potentially insignificant is a little unwise, perhaps. So I think Matt Patricia will be fine. Josh McDaniels will be fine. I don't think they're thinking about their next jobs quite yet. They have a long time before that. They're all focused on this Sunday.
I don't think we can use the word laser focus, but Brian, I think it's interesting you point out they've already got the jobs. So I was kind of leaning towards why I would go with the Eagles in this situation, because we kind of have a trend going on. You know, the Chiefs, their coach, they lost. He becomes the Bears coach. The Vikings, their coach. You know, the Eagles, nobody. The Eagles have nobody. But now this was what I was thinking. But now this morning there's a report that DeFilippo could become now the Vikings' offensive coordinator and take over for Shurmur. Now, he obviously isn't as involved in the actual game plan. He's not calling the plays, but does that even out the playing? It's very hard to bet against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Very hard to do. But if you think Gronk's not going to play, and if you think maybe these other two, it's not one coordinator. One coordinator, very easy to overcome with a guy like Bill Belichick. It's both your coordinators, okay? And now, how many guys on the Patriots staff could those two guys
like
be
that
talking
angle,
about?
I like DeFilippo not only going to the Vikings, you're in Minneapolis.
Right.
Yeah, you know, all of a sudden people are calling you, you're calling them, and that's, you know.
There's some distractions
going on. And you've got Nick Foles as your quarterback, not Tom Brady. So now that's you're the closest.
Big difference, right?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's pretty good.
We'll see. But I it does have an effect on how I see this game playing out. Absolutely. There's no way these two can be razor focused.
That's a great question, because it does go beyond wins and losses.
What are the chances one of the top three free agent pitchers still not signed by opening day?
Absolutely zero. There's no way. By opening day, they're too good not to be signed by then. I would be stunned if it went all the way to opening day. I think they hold their water and maybe start a training camp, and maybe then there's injuries and all the rest of it that happens and people make decisions. But I think opening day, I know it's just around the corner, but you get to look at your team. It's far enough away that they should get all those deals done.
You could probably open up a training camp with 100 different free agents, including one of these starting pitchers. While the real games are being played, they could be down in Arizona staying in shape, and agents running or going down to IMG in Florida or wherever it is.
I totally agree with that. But the question is the top three pitchers, right?
Well, they could hold their water. They could hold their kale shakes. Jake Arrieta. Now, remember, Scott Boras, he's the wild card in this thing. He's absolutely infuriated by how this winter has gone down. He's put out the 75-page binder to, you know, no, GMs don't look at that. That's addressed to the owners. Owners get to see that only. That's how my guys. Jake Arrieta, I would not be shocked at all if he's sitting there come April and Yu Darvish got his $150 million for 5 years, and Jake's not even getting close to anything close to that, and he's just waiting for someone. Scott's telling him, sit tight. If you know, we'll pay your bills. Don't worry, you got money. But you know, the first injury that happens, they're going to be throwing money at you and years at you. So whatever you think you might be losing in actual paychecks, it'll be made up. I think he's just proud enough, stubborn enough, however you want to characterize it, combined with the agent, who has certainly got his ideas of how baseball's operating these days, that the agent could talk Jake into sitting back and letting the first couple weeks of the season play out.
Yeah, two more months. We thought something was going to happen 2 months ago. I think it's unlikely, but it could happen. Even though there are 6 to 7 teams supposedly involved looking for starters right now, that one of the three, yeah, and Hanley, I had the same thought, that Jake might be that guy. Is a player going to be willing to stand their ground? You know, injuries are going to happen, and they're going to have their choice of where they want to go, and they can choose to go to a team that's off to a great start, and all they need is you. You could put them over the top, and maybe a team's going to overpay for you to. And you
that's
only
YOU, right?
To pitch 1 month less. I would put it at about 10% that one of the three is still available on opening day.
Just so I'm clear here, is the third pitcher Alex Cobb
that we're talking
about here? I think that just goes to speak how weak this free agent class was and why it's been so long that none of these top three guys are signed now. They're all over the age of 30, and teams are striking a balance between being in that window and trying to compete year by year, but then also being cognizant of, okay, 5-6 years down the line, we don't want this huge contract with a player, frankly, who's washed up, at that time bogging down the rest of the payroll and the rest of the roster. So it's very tricky. You know, these guys are all going to get signed before opening day, I think. I think it would be crazy if any of them weren't on a team. It's just that I'm going to be really interested to see the years in which all three of them get, because I know they're all looking for long-term contracts. Everybody that's a free agent wants that security. They want 5, 6, 7 years, whatever. But given the fact that Arrieta has been declining, Darvish has been up and down, he had the World Series thing that Dustin, you know, it makes him roll around in his sleep at night. And then Alex Cobb, frankly, is not near the talent level of either Darvish or Arrieta. He's just a guy who happens to be coming into free agency at the right time for him. So I don't think any of these guys are going to get the 6, 7 years they want, but I'm going to be very interested to see how long these contracts end up being. I do think they will all be signed before opening day, though.
I think there's a ton of talkability here, and I think Brian's right. If there's one guy that I could see, it'd be Jake. He could dig his heels in, and Mully, you're right. But I also think it could go right up to the 11th hour, and it's going to, for Jake, it could be an injury to somebody that thinks they're in the hunt, right? That if there was just a team, if it was going to be, as an example, the Philadelphia Phillies, who have supposedly a boatload of money, some young stars, but they're still 4 or 5 years away from actually competing. Teams like that, then it would have already happened by now, right? I mean, they would have already said, we want Jake around, we want him in the clubhouse, we want him to lead, we think he can put rear ends in the seats. That's the thing. The other thing is, these three guys, and especially Alex Cobb, they don't put rear ends in seats. Yu Darvish doesn't put butts in seats. Jake doesn't put butts in seats. Put my butt in a seat at Wrigley Field, but you know the grass and the Bud Light will put my rear end in a seat at Wrigley Field as well.
You're talking about the lawn, right, at the park?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I thought you had that in your backyard, the little sod patch.
I do.
About medicinal something.
But yes, I do believe that this is a possibility, and if I had to put money on it, of those three, it would be Jake Arrieta.
All right, that is the 5 and 5. 312-644-6767. You've heard our opinion. What is yours? What do you think of the decision to bench Nico? We got to talk about that. It foretells an imminent deal, or could it be punitive because he rejected a move? And in one sentence, can you sum up his career? What do you really think of Nico? Bottom line, what is your opinion? 312-644-6767. Are you worried if you're a Patriots fan that two coordinators, not one but two, having a job could somehow affect their focus or their impact their preparation? Are you concerned that Gronk will miss the Super Bowl with a concussion? And what are the chances of one of the top three free agent pitchers still not signed by opening day? It's Mully and Hanley. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.